In the past few services, we've been focusing on discipleship. And the reason why we've been focusing on discipleship is because that really is the Father's business. And we discovered that the early church continued to do what it is that our Lord said that he was doing at the age of 12 in the temple when his mother asked him why it is that he was in the temple and had dealt with her and Joseph in the way that he had. And he said to her that he must be about, I must be about my Father's business in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 49. And that's what our Lord did. And we discovered that that little statement, I must be about my Father's business, has opened up a whole series of messages for us. And that is, we looked at what it was that Jesus did when he said that it was about his Father's business and discovered that it was all about redemption and reconciliation. It was about restoration. It was about the cross, him dying for us and raised the third day is about salvation. And we discovered that our Lord, after he died on that cross, was raised the third day and ascended back to heaven, that he left his people here. And they are the ones who are continuing the Father's business. And just as our Lord was in the temple doing the Father's business at the age of 12, when you read in the book of Acts, you'll find that these people, his disciples also, are in the temple area in Jerusalem, and they are continuing the Father's business. We've been discovering what that business is. And that is, the Bible tells us what it is that they did. And that is, that first of all, they were doing the business of evangelism, and that is that they were sharing with people about Jesus. They were telling them that Jesus indeed not only died on that cross, but he has risen from the dead, and his resurrection demonstrates that he is who he said he is. He really is Messiah Christ, and that he really did what he said that he would do. He died for our sins, paid the price, atoned for all the sins of humanity at the cross. And they began to tell everybody about Jesus, and as they did, there were those who were pricked in their hearts and realized that they were lost, they were sinners under the judgment of God, and that they needed Christ. And they cried out, what do we need to do? And Peter told them to repent or turn to Christ, turn from their sin and lostness and the false teaching that they had been under, and to turn to Christ. And they did. The Bible says they received his word, they believed what Peter said, turned to Christ, and they were saved that day. That's evangelism. Sharing about Jesus so that people who are lost can hear about him, the Spirit of God can deal with their hearts and bring them to the point of conversion. That's evangelism. And then we discovered the second thing that they were doing, that is those, the early church, the people of God, as they were doing the Father's business, was discipleship. And that is, discipleship is the idea of learning from a teacher and following after someone. And that's exactly what they're doing. And that is that they are, that the early church is learning about our Lord Jesus and is following him. And discipleship in the early church in Acts chapter number 2 involved two things. It involved baptizing. That is, those who got saved, they were baptized. Their baptism was an outward confession of what it is that Christ had done in their life, that their old life was dead. They were raised a brand new person in Christ. The second thing that they were doing is that they were teaching. They not only baptized the believers, but they also then began to teach them so that they could grow and learn and become everything God wanted them to be. We've discovered that that's what discipleship is. Discipleship is when those who've been born again follow the Lord by being baptized and then also by being taught. And that's what the early church was doing. That is the Father's business. Another reason why the early church was doing that is because that's what Jesus told them to do. Right before his ascension, when he met with them, Matthew tells us in Matthew 28 that he told them to go and to teach all nations and of course, share the gospel with them and then baptize those who believe in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then verse 20 of Matthew 28 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. Two things that Jesus said that they were to do with those who believe the gospel. They're to baptize them, and then they are also to teach them. And that's what they did. That's what you read about in the book of Acts. That's the Father's business. And listen to me now, that's not only the business, the Father's business in the early church, but it's still the Father's business today. And that is, not only is it the Father's business in the first century, but in the 21st century. If the people of God, if we as the people of God are going to be involved in doing the Father's business, then listen to me now, we've got to be sharing the gospel evangelism, and then we must be involved in discipleship, those who are saved, being baptized, and also learning, being taught. Now, if we're going to do discipleship, that is, if we're going to teach new believers, we've got to figure out what it is that we're to be teaching them, and that's been our discovery over the past few services. If we're going to teach believers, then what is it that we need to be teaching them? And we discovered this, and that is that we need to be teaching them about the commands. Just like Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe, pay careful attention to the things that I have commanded you. All the things that I've commanded you, that's what you're to teach them to pay close attention to or to observe. And ladies and gentlemen, that's our assignment, is to teach His commands. So we're to be teaching the commands. We're also to be teaching the call. And that is, we discovered a week ago that we're to be teaching about the call to discipleship, that our Lord is calling us to discipleship, that is, to be His learners, to be His followers. Listen, if you're saved, there's probably something on the inside of you that is causing you to want to learn more about Jesus and more about Jesus and more about Jesus. That is the call to discipleship, the desire to learn and to grow and to draw near to Him. We need to be teaching on the commands, but also the call. And then we discover we need to be teaching about the cost. And that is, if we're going to be His discipleship, then it means, according to Luke 14:33, it means forsaking everything that we have. In other words, it means full and complete surrender of everything that we have and everything that we are to Him. And what a sweet surrender that is when you finally get to that point. It's scary, but oh, how sweet it is when you finally just surrender everything and begin to follow Him with everything that you have. We need to be teaching the cost. We also need to be teaching, we discovered this past Sunday morning, about the cross. And that is, what Jesus said, if you're going to follow after Me, in Matthew chapter 16, He told us, if you're going to follow Me, then here's what you got to do, and that is, you got to take up your cross. You got to take up your cross every day. If you're going to be able to follow Me, that's what you have to do. And we try to discover what that means. And we discovered that it means a life of self-denial. Denying yourself, taking up your cross. It means denial. It means death to ourself. It means the direction of our life being set by Him. That is, taking up the cross. Listen, believers got to learn about the cross. The cross not only means salvation, but the cross, ladies and gentlemen, also means discipleship for our life. That is, living a cross-centered life. A life that revolves around the cross. That is, my old man is dead. The cross means this. And that is, that, listen, that my old man died with Christ and raised a brand new person. The old is dead. That means I deny the old self. The old self was dead. I must deny and let the Lord Jesus set the direction now for my life. That's what the cross means. That's what discipleship is about. We got to teach the cross. And then we discovered this past Sunday night that we want to continue thinking about tonight. And that is, that we need to be teaching about continuing. That is, discipleship means continuing. In other words, those who are really disciples, ladies and gentlemen, are not those who just follow once in a while or just learn for a little while and then stop. Discipleship means that I'm learning about Him, that I'm following Him and living for Him the rest of my life. It means continuing. Listen, you cannot be a disciple of our Lord if you don't continue to follow Him. Now, we discovered this past Sunday night that that means continuing in the direction of Christ. Continuing in the direction of Christ. And that is, that wherever He's going, I'm going with Him. Whatever direction He's leading in, that's the direction that I'm going in. It means that I'm not turning back from that. I'm not going to be like what we discovered in Luke 9. And that means that I'm not going to be like the guy who said, I'll follow you, but first of all, I got to go back home and bury my father. No, you got to continue to follow in His direction. You can't set your own agenda and your own direction and be His disciple. If you're setting your own direction and your own agenda, then you're no longer a disciple of Christ. You're just living your own life the way you want to live it, and you're not following Him at all. It means, listen, it means continuing in the direction of Christ. Whatever direction He's leading, that's the direction that I am going. Now listen, he told that crowd, he said, now listen, I don't have a place to lay my head. I'm not like the fox that has a hole. I'm not like the bird that has a nest. I don't have a house to lay down my head at. I don't have a place of comfort to take you to. If you're going to follow Me, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. The price of discipleship is indeed difficult, but don't be distracted. Just continue to follow Me. Continue to follow Me. We're talking about continuing in the direction of Christ. If you won't follow His direction for your life, then you cannot be His disciple. If you're setting your own agenda and your own direction, then you're not his disciple. When we're talking about teaching about continuing, we're talking about continuing in the direction, no matter how hard it gets. That is, if you're following Jesus as the disciples were, and they came to a city of the Samaritans that would not receive them, that wouldn't let them stay there, that wouldn't let them have a place to lay down their head, that wouldn't let them have a meal to eat. And I tell you, the James and John wanted to call down fire from heaven. Remember the story? And the Lord Jesus said, no, you don't know what kind of a spirit that we have. That is, we haven't come to destroy, but we've come that I've come to save. And that is, they met resistance, and yet they continued to follow. And when you're following Jesus, there may be resistance, there may be struggle, there may be difficulty, but you got to continue to follow his direction, continuing in the direction of Christ. So I want you to notice with me, not only does teaching about continuing mean continuing in the direction of Christ, but it also means continuing in the doctrine of Christ. When I'm talking about the doctrine of Christ, I'm talking about the clear Bible teaching that our Lord has given to us. Continuing in the doctrine of Christ. Now, we discovered that that's what the early church was doing in Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 42, as you well remember. That is, the Bible tells us in Acts 2:41, ladies and gentlemen, that those who heard the word of God were pricked in their hearts by the Holy Spirit, who heard the word of God being preached, and Peter told them to repent. They received that word, they repented, and they were baptized that day, about 3,000 of them. And then Acts 2:42 says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And when the Bible says here they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, we've discovered in a series of messages, that means, ladies and gentlemen, that they stayed right there in Jerusalem and they were learning from the apostles what it is that they were teaching. They stayed right, they continued to learn, they didn't stop learning, they didn't go anywhere else. Listen, they didn't even go back home. When Pentecost was over, they didn't even go back home. And the reason why is because the teaching of the Word of God, the teaching of the apostles' doctrine was taking place in Jerusalem. And if there's one thing they wanted to be taught. They wanted to be taught the apostles' doctrine worse than they wanted to go home and do their jobs and take care of their business and mow their yards and whatever else they had to do back home. Listen, they had animals to be taken care of, all kinds of things back home, but they found something more important than any of that. And it was the teaching of the apostles' doctrine. And so they stayed right there and they continued in it. They stayed right there and they continued to be taught, and they stayed there until persecution finally scattered them some months later in Acts chapter number 8. And you and I can learn something from that, and that is real discipleship looks like that. It's those who are continuing in the doctrine of Christ. And what the Bible says in Acts 2:42, that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, you know already that the apostles' doctrine, ladies and gentlemen, is not something that the apostles just came up with themselves. You know that, don't you? You say, well, where did the apostles get their doctrine or their teaching? I mean, where do they come up with it at? That is, did they go online and go to some website and download some resources and that's how they got their doctrine? Maybe they went and bought a book and they read that little book and that's how they got their doctrine. We know where they got their doctrine, and that is, they got it from our Lord himself. Remember what he said? I want you to teach them all the things that I have commanded you. Teach them to observe that, and that's what they're doing. They're teaching them the same truth that our Lord had taught them. They're teaching the doctrine of Christ, the teaching that came from him. Remember what Jesus told them right before he left, that is in the upper room, before he was arrested and crucified. He said, listen, after I'm gone, the Spirit of God is going to come. And when the Spirit of God comes, he's going to remind you of all the things that I've said to you. And he did. The Spirit of God came and filled them and indwelt them. And they remembered all the things that Jesus taught them, ladies and gentlemen. And they began to teach it to others. The apostles' teaching or the apostles' doctrine is indeed the very doctrine of Christ. And those who are disciples, real disciples, they continue in that teaching or in that doctrine. That's one of the marks of real discipleship. Not only continue in the way of Christ or the will of Christ, following his direction, but I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, they're continuing in the doctrine of Christ, and that is hearing and following his teaching. When I'm talking about continuing in the doctrine of Christ, I not only mean hearing the Word of God, but I mean more than that. Not only hearing the word, but those who are really his disciples continue in the word. In other words, they hear it and they receive it. They embrace the word of God. They believe the word of God. They follow the word of God. They teach others the word of God their whole life. Listen to me now. Their whole life revolves around the doctrine of Christ, the teaching of our Lord. Their life revolves around. Everything they do and every decision they make revolves around what it is that our Lord is teaching us. It revolves around the word of God. That's real discipleship. Those who are real disciples, the decisions they make and the direction in their life does not revolve around the world and the world's decisions. It revolves around the word. Listen, it not only doesn't revolve around the world, it doesn't revolve around wealth. I want you to get a hold of this because you and I live in a world, ladies and gentlemen, where there are a lot of people that say they're following Jesus that simply are not. Their life revolves around whatever the world is doing. Their life revolves around whatever wealth and prospers them. Even those many who say they are following Jesus, their life is still, their life's decisions is made based on what the world is saying and what wealth is produced for them. It is not about what the Word says. It's not about the Word of God. Life that doesn't revolve around the Word, but instead revolves around the world or around wealth, that's not real discipleship. Now, you and I have a world that we have to live in, and there's a certain amount of wealth that we have to have in order to be able to survive. But that is not what the lives of disciples revolves around. Remember what Jesus said? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things shall be added unto you. Remember what Jesus said? And that is, look at the birds of the air. Remember the birds? Listen, look at them flying through the air, but they don't sow. They don't go out. They don't have to go out and sow and seed in the ground and grow crops. And yet God takes care of all of them. Don't you think you're worth more than a bird to God? And by the way, just look across the field of grass and see the lilies out there. And look how beautiful they are. God clothes the fields with beautiful lilies. Wow, they're so beautiful. Even Solomon in all his glory was not even dressed as beautiful as the lilies of the field. But they don't have to spin. They don't have to make their clothing. God just provides them. Don't you think God can take care of you? Life is not about wealth, even though we have to have some. Life for a disciple does not revolve around the world, even though we live in it. Life for a disciple revolves around the Word. They continue in the Word. The whole life is invested in what Jesus is saying. That's the point. That's discipleship. They continue in the Word. You say, Pastor, is that what the early church is doing when the Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine? Here's what it means. And that is that even though the world was rejecting the Word of God, they weren't. And even though they were, their wealth was back home, wherever they came from, they weren't going back to that. They were staying right there and wrapping their life around the teaching of the apostles. You and I can learn a lot here from this. Yeah, I'm going to reinforce that idea for a little while tonight. And that is, think with me for just a moment about the parable that Jesus told. Jesus told a parable that illustrates this very truth, that those who are real disciples, that they continue in the Word. That is, they continue in the doctrine of Christ. The parable is found in Luke chapter number 8, and it's one that you're going to be familiar with if you study and read the Bible or hear preaching very often. That is, in Luke chapter number 8, the Bible begins this little story, this parable, in verse number 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spoke a parable. Now listen, a parable is simply a simple, common, everyday story. But in that story, the people and the events in the story symbolize something of greater value. As many have said, it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So here we go. The Bible says a sower went out to sow his seed in verse number 5, Luke 8, 5. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. So here's a farmer out there. He's sowing a seed, and he's just broadcasting. He's throwing the seed out there in the field, and some of it fell on that hardened ground where people walked. And it was hard. And the seed just lay there, didn't take any root, and the birds came and ate the seed. Some of it fell upon a rock, that is rocky soil, and as soon as it was sprung up, that is, it did spring up, but it withered away because it lacked moisture. That is, it wasn't rooted down because it's rocky soil. It didn't root down deep enough to be able to get any moisture, and it just shot up. The shoot shot up, but it dried up quickly. And then the Bible says that some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and it choked it. That is, it fell in where the weeds grew up, and it choked out the plant as it tried to grow up. But there's others. Notice now, there's others that fell on good ground, and it sprang up and bore fruit a hundredfold. Some of that seed fell on cultivated good soil, cultivated soil, and ladies and gentlemen, it grew up, and it continued to grow, it continued to grow, and it continued to grow, and finally, it brought forth fruit, and Jesus said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now, verse 9 says, his disciples asked him, "What might this parable be? Would you tell us what this means?" Now, this would be a common sight. This would be a common sight in the first century, see a farmer doing that. And so he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." So why did you tell this story, Jesus? We don't know what it means. Why did you tell us a story when we don't know what it means? Jesus said, because of the fact that there are some people that I don't want them to understand what it means. That is, I'm going to reveal it to you, but I'm going to conceal it from others. So here's what it means. The parable is this, verse 11. The seed is the Word of God. And those by the wayside are they that hear. And then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So he said, the seed is the Word of God. The farmer is spreading the seed. The seed symbolizes the Word of God. And that seed that fell on the wayside, that hardened ground, and the birds came and devoured it, symbolizes those who hear the word, but it doesn't take root in their hearts. They don't continue in the word. And I tell you, the devil will steal it away as soon as he can. And he does it quickly. He operates through this world system to divide and distract your mind from the Word of God. That's what that symbolizes. And then in verse number 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear the Word, they receive the Word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. So some of them, that is like the seed that fell on the rocky soil, that sprung up quickly, but it didn't root down and it dried up as soon as the sun got really hot. And withered away. He said, that's like those who hear the Word of God, and boy, they get real emotional about it. With joy and great emotion, they receive it, but there's no root in themselves. It's all just emotion and no real root. And the Bible says here, it's like those, listen, they say they believe, and it looks like they do for a little while, and then they just fall away. And they don't continue to follow at all. You see, some aren't open to the Word at all. And the devil just steals it away as soon as they hear it. That is, they just won't even listen to it. Even while they're hearing it, they're shutting their ears and will not hear it. A hardened heart that does not want to hear the Word of God. Some, when they hear it, get all emotional about it. And so we believe it. We love it. And then a little while later, they don't even believe it anymore. It's the emotional crowd. Listen to me now. Salvation is more than just an emotional response to the Word. It goes much deeper, and it's much more real. Now notice when the Bible says in verse 14, and they which fell among the thorns are they which when they have heard, that is heard the Word, they go forth and are choked with cares and riches and the pleasures of this life and have no fruit to perfection. That falls on the thorny ground is like those who hear the Word of God. And the Word of God that they hear, ladies and gentlemen, it just gets choked out of their life. That is, they just don't respond to it. There's no continued response. They don't continue in the Word. And the reason why is because we have all the things going on in this world. The world chokes the Word out of their life. We got too many places to go and too many things to do. For my life to be wrapped around the Word of God like this, it's just not possible. I've got money to make. I've got hobbies to enjoy. I've got all the things of this life that I'm just busy doing. I don't have time for my life to be wrapped around the Word of God. Now listen, all of that just chokes the Word out of their life like weeds choke out a growing plant. These are folks who don't continue in the Word. Some of them don't even hear it. Their heart is hardened. Some of them receive it with great emotion, but don't continue in it. Just emotion. When the emotion runs out, they're done. Some of them, ladies and gentlemen, they hear the word, but it just gets choked out. They don't continue in it because of all the worldly things that we have going on in our life. The desire for wealth and worldliness chokes it out. They don't continue in the word. Listen, if you meet some of these people, it may look like, on the surface, it might look like that they are real disciples, but they're not because they don't continue in the word. But the Bible says in verse 15, that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it or continue in it and bring forth fruit with patience. There are some people who hear the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, and I tell you that their heart has been cultivated by the Holy Spirit, and the word of God roots down on the inside of them, and they receive the truth of the word of God, and their life is transformed by it, and their whole life begins to revolve around the word of God. When you look at that field, you know what you see? You don't just see seed laying there that the birds are eating. When you look at that field, you don't see a seed that has sprung up and now it's all withered and dried up. When you look at that field, you don't just see the seed that has grown up, but all the thorns are choking it out. What you see is a plant that has grown and now it is bearing fruit. That's what you see there. These are those who have continued in the word. They have received it. They really believed it. They've embraced it. They are continuing in it. And listen to me now. Those are the ones who are the real disciples. That's what discipleship looks like. That's what real disciples look like. And that's the point that our Lord is trying to reveal in this parable that he told. When you've seen the parable that Jesus told, then you need to notice at the Gospel of John the point that Jesus made. Look at John chapter number 8. In John chapter number 8, let's get to the point of this. In John chapter number 8 and verse 31, here's what our Lord said. Are you ready? You know this verse. It's going to sound familiar to you. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. They said they believed. And here's what he said to them. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. They said they believed. And Jesus said, well, we'll find out whether you really are disciples or not. And what's going to determine whether you are or not is whether or not you continue in my word. And then he said, if you'll do that, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you continue in my word, then you'll know truth, and truth will set you free from all of this bondage that they are in first century Judaism. You will be free from it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the reason why he said that is because they said that they believed, but Jesus knew that they would not continue in the word that he was teaching them. How did he know that? Back in verse number 12 of this same chapter in John chapter number 8, here's what Jesus said to them. Then spake Jesus unto them, and here's what he said, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You follow me, and you'll walk in the light. Verse 13, the Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. They heard the word, I'm the light of the world. But they're rejecting that truth. Notice with me also in verse number 33. That is in verse 33, the Bible says that they answered him. Jesus said, you know the truth will make you free. They said, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou that we'll be made free? That is, what do you mean we'll be made free? I don't understand what you're talking. They're arguing with our Lord, demonstrating that they're not listening to what he's saying. And here's what the Lord answered them, verily, verily, I say unto thee, whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. He's not talking about being a slave to the Romans, but he's talking about being a slave to sin. He's talking about set free from sin. If the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed, completely free. He said, I know you're Abraham's seed. They said they were. But you seek to kill me. Because, listen to this now, my word has no place in you. They said that they believed. And Jesus said, well, if you would continue in my word, then you'd really be my disciples and you'd know the truth, and the truth would make you free. But now he tells them, my word doesn't have any place in you. He knew that those who said they believed, who said that we want to be disciples, didn't really believe. The word really had no place in them, is what he's saying. My word has no place in you. Verse 39, they answered and they said in him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I've heard of God. This did not Abraham. That is, you say, well, were they continuing in the word? No, they wanted to kill Jesus because of the word that he was sharing with them. You see it, don't you? It's obvious. Why, verse number 43, it says, why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? They won't hear the word. He says, you can't hear the word. The reason why, you're of your father, the devil. The lust of your father you'll do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. There's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. He's a liar and the father of it. And he's saying that you're his children. You'll believe a lie and reject the truth, just like the devil. That's where they're really at. Our Lord is exposing them to themselves. He said in verse 45, because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. This is the same ones that he just got done saying. They said, we believe on you. He said, if you would continue in my word, then you'd really be my disciples. Then you would know the truth and you would be set free. But now we find that this crowd doesn't really believe the word at all, will not hear the word, will not receive the word, and despise the very one who's speaking the word of God to them. You see the point, don't you? Look at verse 58, how this chapter ends. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham ever existed, I already was. He's revealing himself to be the eternal God. And remember what he said? If you continue my word, then you know the truth, and truth will make you free. He's telling them, I am. Listen to their response. They took up stones to cast at him. They picked up stones to stone him to death. And Jesus hid himself, went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. You see it now, don't you? Here's a crowd, ladies and gentlemen, that said they believed, but they weren't really his disciples. And one of the things that revealed it was the fact that they would not continue. They did not continue in his word. They would not. They did not. You see the parable that Jesus told? Now we see the point that Jesus made. Think about and go back with me to John 6 and notice the people that Jesus fed. John chapter number 6, our Lord fed a multitude of people. You remember the story, don't you? I'll paraphrase it for the sake of time. But the Bible tells us in the first 13 verses of John chapter number 6 about this crowd of 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children, that gathered together with our Lord and in a deserted area, and Jesus was performing miracles and healing their sick, and he was teaching them. And the Bible tells us that when the evening came, they had nothing to eat except for just a little boy's lunch of 5 little loaves of bread and 2 small fish. That's all they had. And the disciples are trying to figure out what they're going to do with this big crowd of people. They can't keep them there all night. It's going to get dark. They've had nothing to eat. People are going to start passing out. It's not going to be a good scene. They need somewhere to go to get something to eat. And so they go to our Lord and say, why don't you just send these people away so they can go into the villages and find food to eat? And Jesus said, no, we're going to feed them. You're going to feed them. And they said, but we don't have nothing to feed them. It takes so much food to feed them. We don't have anything. And they said, what do you have? And somebody said, well, there's this little boy that's got these 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, just enough for a little boy to have a decent lunch. And Jesus said, bring it to me. And so he brought the 5 loaves and the 2 fish to our Lord, ladies and gentlemen. And the Bible says that Jesus told them, set everybody down and divide them up and set them down. So they divided them up. All the men sat down, about 5,000 of them, and Jesus took those loaves and those fish, and he broke it apart, blessed it, and he began to distribute it to the disciples. And they began to take the food to the people. And our Lord just kept giving it to them and kept giving it to them. And those five little loaves of bread and those two small fish, ladies and gentlemen, became enough food for everybody in that crowd to get fed. They not only had enough to eat, but the Bible says they got full. They not only got full, but they had leftovers. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us here that they had 12 baskets full left over. One for each one of the apostles carrying around a basket of leftover food. What a miracle. Think about it now. This crowd is seeing our Lord perform miraculous healings. Demons are being cast out. And on top of that, they had one of the best meals they've had in a long, long time. You know the bread was perfectly done. Hey, you know the fish was the best fish they've ever eaten because our Lord is the one who provided it for them and He always gives the best. What a miracle from our Lord. So you know what this crowd wanted to do? They wanted to make Him king. Well, the Bible says in John 6:14, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, they said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. This is Him, the one that Moses talked about. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take Him by force to make Him a king, He departed again into a mountain Himself alone. They wanted to make Him king. They said, listen, this is the guy. This is the prophet that Moses prophesied about in the Old Testament. And we want Him to be our king. They're talking among themselves. That is, the men have gotten together and said, listen, this is the guy. He can overthrow the Romans. He can establish the kingdom of Israel once again. And this is the guy. We want to follow Him all the way to victory. We'll fight with Him and throw off the Romans. We want to crown Him to be our king like David was the king in the Old Testament. Boy, it sounds like real discipleship to me, doesn't it, to you? I mean, think about it now. What would you think if a crowd of people came here to Eastern Gate, filled our church, and said, we want Jesus to be our king. We want to follow Him, Him to be our king. We'd think revival was on. We'd think the power of God was moving. We'd think, what a great spiritual awakening that we are right in the midst of. But the Bible says, see, when Jesus realized that they wanted to crown Him as king, the Bible says in verse number 15 that He left, He departed into a mountain to pray. And while He was up there praying, He sent His disciples across the Sea of Galilee. He refused to allow this emotional crowd. Listen to me now. They are like that little parable that we heard earlier with the seed that was sown. Ladies and gentlemen, that rocky soil, and it sprung up quickly. And then as soon as the sun came out, it dried up because it wasn't rooted down. Remember what we said that meant? And that is that that's symbolic of those, ladies and gentlemen, who hear the Word of God and respond with great emotion, but there's no real root at all. And when things get a little bit rough, a little bit tough, they're not following anymore. That's this crowd. That is, they saw all of these miracles, they got their bellies full of food, and with great emotion, they're ready now to receive Christ as their King. But listen, it didn't go any deeper than their emotions. That's as deep as it went. And Jesus knew it. He knows our hearts. And so the Bible says he went into a mountain to pray while the disciples got into a boat to go to the other sea, to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. You remember the story. I won't tell you that whole story, but listen, they got into a storm. Jesus came walking on the water, and the whole story about Jesus on the water in the middle, walking on the water in the middle of that storm. And so they got to the other side, and morning came. And when morning came, and that great crowd of people that Jesus fed the night before, they got up and they did not smell any bacon frying anywhere. No sausage. No eggs. Listen, no pancakes, nothing. They said, well, what are we going to have for breakfast? They all looked around and said, where's Jesus? And He was gone. Somebody said He went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and they said, let's follow Him. So they went around to the other side of the Sea of Galilee until they found Him. Listen, they traveled for miles to find Jesus. If I'd have seen that and you'd have seen that, we'd say, man, we got some real disciples here. These folks are willing to sacrifice and follow all the way to the other side of the Sea of Galilee just to find Jesus. And finally, they found Him. And when they got over there and they found Him on the other side, verse 25 says, And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, teacher, when camest thou hither? When did you come over here? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not. You seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. I know your heart. You're just looking for something to eat, aren't you? And then he said in verse 27, Labor not for the meat which perishes, talking about food, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus said, This is the work of God, that you may believe on him whom he hath sent. Now our Lord engaged in a conversation with them, ladies and gentlemen. They came looking for food, and you know what they got? Looking for a meal, and Jesus gave them a message. And he began to preach to them about the bread of life that came down from heaven that they can eat. Listen, it's not the bread you need for your belly. It's the bread you need for your soul. It's not food you need, it's life that you need. Verse 35, he said, I'm the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. Verse 36, I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Verse number 44, he says, No man can come to me except the Father draws him. He's talking about those who come to Christ and receive him and believe him. He's given them a message now on the bread of life, the real bread that they need, everlasting life, ladies and gentlemen. He said in verse 47, he said in verse 48, I am the bread of life. And he said, Your fathers did eat man in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven that a man may eat and not die. I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give you is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. He's going to lay down his life, ladies and gentlemen. And he's talking about the fact that they can now have everlasting life. And do you know how they responded? Well, the Bible tells us in verse number 60, after he got done preaching, many therefore of his disciples, get this now, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, here's what they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it or understand it? Instead of a meal, they got a message, and they choked on it. They've got the word, but they're not grabbing hold of it. And the Bible says in verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, This is a hard saying, who can hear it? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? They're murmuring at it. The idea of offending means that they're stumbling over it. They're like the seed that was planted on the hard ground, some of them. They didn't understand it, and I'll tell you, the devil's stealing it away. This like the seed that's planted on the rocky soil. And some of them have sprung up quickly and they're very emotional about it, but now it's starting to wither away quickly. They're like the seed that's planted, ladies and gentlemen, like planted in the thorny soil, and now the cares of the world are rising up, and some of them are saying, Listen, we got to get out of here. We got things to do. We need to leave. They're murmuring. They're offended. They're stumbling over it. Verse 66, are you ready? From that time, many of his disciples, those who were following around, listening to him, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. That is, they wouldn't continue any farther than the meal. They rejected the message. They wouldn't continue any farther than the meal. They rejected the message. Notice the response of those who are true disciples. In contrast, verse 67, then said Jesus to the 12, are you going to leave too? Will you also go away? Peter spoke up, and here's what he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? I love this. Thou hast the words of eternal life. We're not going anywhere. We're going to continue following your word. You've got the words of eternal life. We believe that thou art sure and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is, we're not going anywhere. We're following your word, continuing in your teaching. Now, that's real discipleship, with the exception of one, Judas Iscariot, who's identified in the later verses. trying to give you a contrast between those who are real disciples and those who are not. Those who are real disciples continue. They continue in the doctrine of Christ, in the teaching of Christ, and do not turn away from it, and their life is wrapped around it. You see the parable that Jesus told. You'll see the point that Jesus made. You'll see these people that Jesus fed. And finally, you'll notice the passages that Jesus inspired. And that is, as a result of our Lord's teaching about continuing in His Word, He inspired the writers of the Word of God to continue to teach that same truth. You know what they're doing? They're doing discipleship, and they're teaching this principle. If you're going to be a real disciple, you've got to continue in the doctrine. You've got to continue in the Word of God that you've been taught. Don't abandon what it is that you've been taught. Don't turn away from the teaching of Christ that you've been taught. Those who turn away from the teaching have turned away from Him. Here's what James would write. Listen to this passage in James chapter number 1 and verse number 25. He said, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." James emphasizes the continuing in the Word of God. Looking into the Word of God like a mirror and continuing in it and not turning away from it and not forgetting it. Not abandoning it, ladies and gentlemen, is what James writes about. Peter himself exposed the corruption of false teachers who would not continue in the truth but turned away from it, ladies and gentlemen, in his writings in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3 and 19 through 22 that I won't read tonight. And that is, he said, one of the things that characterizes false teachers are those who knew the truth, who've been exposed to the truth, and have deliberately turned away from it. They are apostates. They've known the truth and abandoned it. And he warns us about it. John also exposed those who've heard the word but would not continue in the word. 1 John chapter number 2, let me just read it to you. 1 John chapter number 2, listen to what John writes in verse 18. 1 John 2 verse 18, "Little children, it's the last time or the last days. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists. Whereby we know it's the last time. There are many Antichrists already," he said. Listen to this now. "They went out from us, but they were not of us." Listen to this. "For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us." John's talking about those who've abandoned the apostolic doctrine, the teaching of the apostles. They were here, but they didn't continue. They've turned away from the clear teaching of the apostles, and ladies and gentlemen, as a result of that, he's telling us that they went out, that they might be made manifest, that they were, that is, they left. Say, where did they go? Somebody might say, where did those folks go that were here? And John says they're gone. The reason why they're gone is because they were never of us. They've abandoned the truth, the teaching of the Apostle John, revealing the reality that these folks who are against the doctrine of Christ, listen, that is Antichrist. We'll say it again. Those who are opposed to the doctrine of Christ are the Antichrist that John is identifying. They were with us. They heard. It appeared they believed. But they didn't. And it's obvious now they didn't, because said now, they've left, revealing. Not just left physically, they left the doctrine, the teaching, the clear teaching of the Apostle John and the other apostles. Well, the Bible tells us in verse number 20, "You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I've written not unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it." You know the truth, and no lie is of the truth. He's setting in opposition the Antichrist who've abandoned the truth, as opposed to these believers who know and are continuing in the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm trying to get you to see these passages that Jesus inspired. He tells us, listen, if you can be my disciples, you have to continue in the Word. James affirms it. Peter affirms it. John affirms it. And Paul affirms it as well. When Paul was writing his last letter, I'm about done. When he was writing his last letter, that is just before he was executed, the second letter to Timothy, When you get down to chapter number 3, at the end of the chapter, he spoke to Timothy, and here's what he said. 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 13. He said, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Timothy, as the last days continue to progress, there's going to be a lot of deception. There's going to be evil people. They're going to be deceiving. That is deceiving. It's going to be worse and worse. That is, they are deceived and they're going to be deceiving others. They're going to be telling lies, and they're going to be people going to be believing those lies. But on the other hand, opposite of that, here's what I want you to do. I want you to continue. There's our word. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. I want you to continue in what it is you've been taught. Listen to me. Continue in what you've been taught. And what have you been taught? From a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures. That is, from the time you're a child, you've been taught the Word of God. And listen, you're living in a world that in which the doctrine of lies is being taught. The teaching of lies is being spread. But don't you go along with those lies. You continue in the Word of God that you've been taught from a child, that made you wise unto salvation. Here's why. Because the Word of God, the Scripture, ladies and gentlemen, is given by inspiration of God. It is divinely inspired, the very breath of God. It came from God, the Word of God. It is the very Word of God, and it is profitable. It will benefit you for doctrine so that you'll know the right doctrine. Listen to me now, ladies and gentlemen. The right doctrine is the doctrine that is revealed in the very pages of this book that is the Bible. This is our teaching. And those who've been taught the Word of God, you better stick with it. You better continue in it. And don't let anybody deceive you and to try to turn you away from it. That's the spirit of Antichrist. But you better continue in it. That is, if you want to be a real disciple. What is discipleship? What do we teach if we're going to teach discipleship? What is it that we're to be doing? Baptizing and teaching. And one of the things that we need to be teaching about continuing. You're not a real disciple if you don't continue, ladies and gentlemen, in the direction of Christ and continue in the doctrine of Christ. Those who say they believe but don't continue in the truth are not real disciples. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Pray that you'll do a work in our hearts, manifest your presence in our lives. God, I pray, Father, for those, Lord, that are sliding down a road away from the Word of God, away from the truth of God, starting to compromise already. Some that are listening to this message, God, they're already starting to compromise what they've been taught and know to be true. God, I pray, Father, that you'll rescue them from the danger of deception and bring them back to the very Word of God, the teaching, the apostolic teaching. God, I pray for those, Lord, who've allowed the world to steal away the Word from their hearts, so caught up in the things of this world that the Word of God is not central. God, I pray, Father, for those, Lord, who've allowed the desire for wealth to steal away the Word, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, that God, we get back to letting the Word of God be central in all of our lives. Thank you for what you've shown us. Teach us how to continue in your doctrine, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all.